Hello, world.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world. Hello, world. This is Louis Patron, bringing you the Key West Legal Hour and the Blog Talk Radio Show. This is a place for you and me to come together every morning, once a week, and discuss current events. Let's see how good we can be together, and let's do some talking. Now, in order to talk, this is a talk show, you have to call in. And then you can challenge me, you can make a statement, express yourself, whatever, on any event that's out there bothering the world today. The call-in number for you is 646-478-5731. Again, 646-478-5731. Let me hear from you, please. Well, a lot of things happened this past week, and of course the outstanding event, a terrible event, the tragedy, is what occurred in Newton, Connecticut, where 26 people died because of some nut who went out there shooting guns, all kind of assault weapons, and so forth. 20 of those who died were kindergarten children, 6 years old. Now, that's a tragedy. People who bear guns and enjoy guns say they have a right to bear arms. And I have to say to you that the right to bear arms is not as great as the right of a child to grow up. You heard me. The right to bear arms is not as great as the right of a child to grow up. Our children are not a shooting gallery. I repeat, our children are not a shooting gallery. Let me tell you, give you a little background about guns in this country today. 44 states permit open carry. Legal open carry. Open carry is a gun on your hip if you like it, just like in the old West. 49 states permit concealed carry. Only one does not. 49 states permit you to secrete your gun in your inside pocket or in a holster under your armpit and carry the gun. Interestingly, the state of Florida has 1 million people who are permitted to carry handguns. We live in Monroe County here, Key West and the Keys are Monroe County, right up to just outside Miami, 73,000 people. Monroe County, our home county, has the highest per capita number of permits to carry a handgun in the state of Florida. 73,000 people, 5,600 licenses. Now, I've never seen the concealed weapon, and of course, you're not supposed to see a concealed weapon, I guess. But I'm shocked and I'm surprised at the number of guns being carried down here. Where does all this come from? I'm going to give you a little background. Our Constitution has 10 amendments. The Second Amendment says there is a right to bear arms. Now, you have to remember when these 10 amendments were incorporated in the 1780s sometime, there was no standing army. There was no standing army. We needed a militia, which meant that people were called from their farms and homes to defend the country, which meant they had to bring their guns because we didn't have a government that had guns for these people. They also kept guns in those days, the people, because they needed them to kill game. They ate the turkeys, they ate the deer, they ate the rabbits. They had to go out into the fields and find what they were going to eat. They didn't have a supermarket to go to and buy what they were going to have for dinner that evening, so they needed guns again. And then, of course, there were dangers there. Indians, for example. And when the Indians came, they had to defend themselves, so they had to have guns in their homes. So there was a decided need for them to carry guns, to bear arms. Second Amendment at the time is clearly a right to bear arms. Now comes 2012. How does that work today? Well, I'm going to tell you how it works. We have a Second Amendment, as I said. And in 2008 and 2010, the United States Supreme Court passed two cases, decided two cases. And the cases basically enforced the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms. One case says there's a right to have and use a gun for self-protection, which means you got to carry it. A right to have and use a gun for self-protection. The other case says this freedom includes the right to carry weapons outside the home. You can defend yourself inside. You can defend yourself outside. This is the result of what we call strict construction. We hear about, you know, we had judges who are strict constructionists because we don't want judges, liberal judges, making the law. Well, strict constructionists go to the letter of the law. And here it says there is a right to bear arms. Nobody looks into the background. They just explained why they needed guns then, but they do not need guns now. And so the strict constructionists came out with these two decisions in 2008 and 2010, which are absolutely terrible. There should not be a right to bear arms so liberally in this country. Are you aware? Nobody's calling in, by the way. You've got to call in. The number is 646-478-5731. I repeat, 646-478-5731. Do not be bashful. I need you. I'm not going to beat you up. You're probably going to beat me up. So please, call in. Bob Shaw. Let me talk about handgun killings in the year 2011. There are 25 civilized, industrialized countries in the world. Of those 25 countries, those 25 industrialized countries, the United States ranks first in the number of handgun killings per year for that year. Let me give you an example of how it works. Japan had 48, Great Britain 81, Switzerland 34, Canada 52, Israel 58, Sweden 41, Germany 42. You know how many we had in the United States that same year? 10,728 deaths by guns. 10,728 deaths by guns. Now, you can't tell me something isn't wrong. Something is wrong someplace here. I don't know what it is, but we got to cut back on all these guns out there, all this ammunition. Who the hell needs an assault weapon that shoots off 30 rounds a second or 100 rounds a second and so forth? The type of gun used in this Newtown tragedy, all right? Now, did you ever hear of the Westboro Baptist Church? Westboro Baptist Church, they're Jesus freaks. They're religious nuts and heretics. I'm sure you've heard of them before. This is the group that goes to the funerals at the cemetery of our soldiers from Afghanistan and previously other countries when they're being buried here. Men killed in the line of duty for our country, the United States, and they pick it. And they say things like, this is God's will, and you died because you shouldn't have been doing what you were doing. Well, they announced the day after Newtown this week, after 26 people were killed, 20 of them 6-year-old children, kindergarten students, they announced that they were going to picket. They were going to picket the funerals of these children. And the reason they were going to picket it, because God had punished the people of Connecticut because they recently approved same-sex marriage, gay marriage. And these people felt that since the people of Connecticut had done this terrible thing, this satanic thing of approving gay marriage, that this was God's hand with these 26 people being killed at the school in Newtown. These people are nuts. They're really not a religious group, but they're radicals. They did the same thing, by the way, in Tucson, Arizona, and Aurora, Colorado, after shooting, and as I indicated, also with these services for slain servicemen. Our Supreme Court, again, of the United States, and I'm not being critical of this decision because I understand it, and this one is right, but the outcome is wrong. Our Supreme Court recently said, Supreme Court of the United States, with regard to the Westboro Baptist Church and when they were picketing a fallen soldier's services at the cemetery, that this was the exercise of free speech by the Westboro group. I agree with the decision, but it galls me as to its implication. Okay, where are you? I'm not hearing from anybody. No one's calling me. I'm all alone by the telephone. Let's get with it. Please. I'm not going to hear from anyone this morning. I can tell. This is absolutely terrible. But if you'd like to call in, all you got to say is, Louis, I want to say this. I don't even want your last name. I want your first name and where you're from. Tom from Indiana. I don't care. The number to call is 646-478-5731. Okay, we're going to move on to Egypt now. Egypt recently, you know, they had their revolt last year. It was wonderful, wasn't it? You know, they were bringing democracy to Egypt. What a crock. And our country was wrong, in my opinion, in turning their backs on Mubarak. Mubarak had been our friend for 30 years. We could depend on him. He was a friend of Israel, as I said at the time. We knew what we had. We didn't know what we were going to get. And look what we got. We got a bunch of religious fanatics again. Just like the Westboro people, these people are religious fanatics who are ruling Egypt at this time. They are Islamists, and they control the country. Well, they had to spoke on their new constitution, the constitution that was put together quite rapidly, as the news reports indicate, and it doesn't contain anything that supports freedom of religion or rights of women. Completely devoid in the constitution, freedom of religion, rights of women. You must remember, it may be they're Muslims, they're Islamists. They believe in the Quran. That is their guide. That is fine. But not 100% of the people. 10% of the people in Egypt are called Coptic Christians. They're not Catholics per se, because they believe St. Paul wrote a new Bible or something. But in effect, they are Christians, and they have churches and so forth. 10% of the population of 83 million people. Well, 10%, so over 8 million people. Then you have your ordinary Catholics, and you have Protestants, all denominations there. And you, believe it or not, you even have some of the Jewish faith. So let's say a total of 13 to 15% of the people in Egypt are Christians or Jewish, of the Jewish faith. They were not permitted to vote in the election this past week. You heard me. If you were a Christian, you were not permitted to vote. You were turned away at the polls. You were not permitted to vote. This is the new democracy in Egypt. Okay, let's move on to something else. You people aren't calling in. I hope somebody's listening. I hate to be the voice in the wilderness. The number is 646-478-5731. All right, I'm moving around here. I'm going to talk about anything that comes to mind, and whatever turns you on, call me on. And if I'm not discussing it, you want to discuss it, call me anyhow, all right? Here we go. I want to talk about anti-noise legislation. It is in every community and every government in the United States. We reached a point many years ago where we didn't want to hear our neighbor's radio blasting. We didn't want to hear a band from a bar blasting and so forth. And so we came up with all these anti-noise legislation that if the noise was so many decibels, so many feet away, you were guilty. You violated the local ordinance against noisemaking. But what about noise in cars? You and I, many times, have pulled up to a stop sign. And there next to us, with the windows down, is some young kid who's got these super-duper radio things in his car, and the noise is blasting out. Terrible, big time. And you say, that stupid ass, I wish somebody would arrest him or he had better manners or so forth. Well, here in Florida, an attorney, he wasn't a young kid and he wasn't a stupid kid, named Richard Catalano. He was driving his car. He's a lawyer. And he likes his music loud. And he had his windows open and he had the music blaring. It just so happened in the area where he was stopped by the police officer, there was a new law that one could not play music in the car if it was too loud. And too loud meant that it could be plainly audible within 25 feet. Well, the lawyer got stopped. He didn't talk his way out of the ticket. He got a ticket. He protested. He has now argued his case before three courts. Finally, the Florida Supreme Court heard the case and decided this past week that lawyer Richard Catalano had a right to play music, including amplified music, because it was his public expression. You heard me, his public expression of what he liked, and it was constitutionally protected under free speech under the First Amendment of the United States. I suspect that this decision will now be applied to the music coming out of restaurants and bars that blasts all over the neighborhood. In effect, it will be that anti-noise legislation is no good across the board. Okay, now we're going to go to China. And why don't you come to Key West and talk to me on the phone? Give me a call. The number is 646-478-5731. I repeat, 646-478-5731. Call me. I'd be very embarrassed if you don't. I suspect I'm going to be embarrassed. Anyhow, in China, China is a one-child family. A man and woman get married, they can only have one child. If they create more than one child, it's forced abortion for the wife. The government forces the abortion. They have too many people in China, the government says. You're only entitled to one kid. And by the way, China only permits one wife. You can't have, the Muslims do and some other religious sects, the Mormons at one time, you cannot have multiple wives. Well, we're in some distant community in China. I can't recall the name of it. And it has a government, and it has a particular legislator, and this legislator also happens to be the head of the Communist Party in his village. He's the head of the Communist Party in his village. This gives him all kinds of power. And along the way, he decided to have more than one wife. He had four wives, and the four wives created 10 children. He's breaking the laws all over the place. What he was doing was he was going to the other officials in the community and bribing them and BSing them and getting everybody to sign papers that it was all right, but the national government finally found out. Bigamy is a crime in China. He has been charged. It's also against the law to have more than one child per couple. They, husband and wife, have been charged with their crime, that crime. Okay, it's Lewis waiting here, Key West Lou. Nobody's calling me up. I'm sitting here, it's still dark in Key West. I've got the windows open. I've got the sliding doors open. I'm sitting about 30 feet from the ocean itself. I can hear the water brushing by. Pitch black, yes, the sun hasn't come up. But I'm all alone by the telephone. That phrase really applies here. I'm all alone by the telephone. Call me. Let's go to India. There was a village someplace up in the northwest. The village recently banned the use of cell phones by women. The village banned the use of cell phones by women. Here's what happened. This is a very Muslim area, by the way. This is Quran, all that sort of thing. Women are considered second-class citizens, as they are in most Muslim nations. Second-class citizens, they sit in the back of the bus. What was happening with the cell phones were the single girls were meeting up with young men on the telephone, and they were eloping to marry them. Remember, this is a society that generally the parents of the girl will pick who the husband is going to be. Everything is controlled and dominated when it comes to women. So the girls were meeting, chit-chatting on the cell phones, finding their lover, and ending up eloping to live with or marry this person. Then the married women were using the cell phones. Married women are using the cell phones. They're meeting men other than their husbands, and they're having affairs. They are cheating. You got to understand, adultery is not acceptable in a Muslim country. The general prescription or penalty is to be beheaded or to be buried in the ground with only your head above ground and to be stoned to death. These are nice people. So it's become a crime. The village made it a crime. They don't put you in jail, but if you're a single girl, you get fined 10,000 rupees, whatever that is. If you're married, you get fined 2,000 rupees. The village council says, and I quote, "Mobile phones are debasing the social atmosphere. Mobile phones are debasing the social atmosphere." Let's go now to Australia. And some of you come to Key West. I'm waiting for a telephone call. I am embarrassed. Not really. I thought it might be this way. We'll get there, though. Please call me. It won't be hard. I'm not going to say this is Jim Jones or anything. I'm not going to fight with you. I'm going to disagree with you, perhaps. You're going to disagree with me. But I can't have a talk show unless someone talks to me. I know there are people listening, but people aren't calling in. The number to call is 646-478-5731. I repeat, 646-478-5731. We're going to go to Australia now. We're going to talk about workers' compensation. We all know what workers' compensation is. You get hurt on the job, you collect. That's simple. It pays for your injury, your time out of work, and if it's a permanent type injury, you've got a pension in effect for the rest of your life. Must be hurt in the course of employment. Well, this past week, this case was decided. This woman had to go out of town for her employer to work in another community for 2 days. It was an overnighter. She had to sleep overnight wherever she was, and she's in a hotel room. She and some gentlemen got together. This gentleman's not related to her work in any fashion. She had never met him before, and they end up in bed together having a good time. While they're having sex, his leg somehow hits the light on the back of the bedboard, it falls down, hits this woman in the face, she gets some cuts, she gets a concussion, and as a result, besides the injury, she's now depressed, she can't work, and she's looking for the pension. Well, I don't think that that's a compensation case, a workers' compensation case. You must be in the course of employment. You can be traveling somewhere, but you can't deviate from normal employment and collect. And I would assume that this woman, she wasn't being paid by the hour when she was staying in the motel or hotel and screwing this guy. This was on her time, and I don't think it's compensable, nor should it be compensable, because it's a deviation. Her act was a deviation, and actually the act again was a deviation from her normal course of employment. Not in Australia. In Australia, they don't recognize the deviation factor as I'm describing it. They say that sex on an overnighter is a compensable injury. Interesting, interesting. Okay, folks, the number is 646-478-5731. I repeat, 646-478-5731. I know I'm not going to get a call now because we've got about 7 minutes left in this show, and I'm sitting here looking at the screen and saying, somebody call, because when you call, your number's going to show up on my screen here, and I have to push a button, and we're on our way to chit-chatting here. Okay. We're in Siberia now. We travel. Let me tell you. We are in Siberia, and the reason this traveling helps. Most of you know I do a, probably all of you, or you wouldn't be here this morning, television internet show once a week, the Key West Blue Legal Hour, and I do a blog every day, keywestblue.com. And both the television and internet show and my daily blog are heard or read in 35 to 40 countries. So I jump around a little bit because I got people everywhere, though I'm not sure I got anyone in Siberia listening. Anyhow, Siberia, we're going to talk about two elephants. The elephants' names, by the way, were Jenny and Magla. They're animals, let's be friendly. Jenny and Magla were in Siberia. It's freezing cold. The tent that they were kept in and kept warm, it was a big storm, got blown away. There was no place to put these huge elephants to keep them warm. A new tent situation would take days to construct. The owner did not know what to do, so he came up with this solution. He bought two cases of vodka. You heard me, two cases of vodka from a nearby village. He diluted the vodka with warm water. He fed it to the elephants. The elephants became invigorated. All of a sudden, they were roaring, the report says, roaring as if they were in the jungle, and it is believed that the vodka kept these elephants alive for two more days before the tent was ready for them. 646-478-5731. 646-478-5731. Where are you? There are people who write me once or twice a week or three or four times a month who basically disagree with my political philosophy. They are conservative. I'm basically a liberal. And they'll say, I'm full of it. Why'd you write this like this? Don't you know? Blah, blah, blah. Where are you? You're hitting me every week. You're saying nasty things to me. And where are you with the show? You can really get on the telephone and yell and scream at me. You don't have to write it. And I know you're out there. I know who you are. Where are you today? Call 646-478-5731. Okay, now we're going to go to Barcelona, Spain. Barcelona, Spain. I don't know what to call this. I call it man's ingenuity. Could be a woman's ingenuity, but I really think in this situation it's man's ingenuity. And I'm referring to drug traffickers, people who make a living by selling drugs. There was an airplane, a commercial airliner, coming in from Bogota, Colombia. Colombia is the home of drug trafficking, to Barcelona, Spain. A woman was on the airplane, and when she was going through customs in Barcelona, Spain, she was rather vague and non-responsive to immigration. They'd ask her questions and her answers were screwed up, so they became suspicious. So they took her into an office and they made her disrobe and they found that she had scars around her breasts and bloodstained gauze also around her breasts and on her chest. She was taken to the hospital. Turns out this lady had had a recent breast implant. Both implants were full of cocaine. This was a new way now to bring cocaine into another country. And each breast, again, implant was stuffed with cocaine. Interesting, isn't it? They'll do anything to bring it in. There was a time several years ago that they would fill condoms and or balloons with cocaine and people swallowed them and then got on the plane and got off in the United States or someplace. And then when they got here, they regurgitated in one fashion or another, and the cocaine came up. On one of those plane trips, one of the balloons broke, and the person became deathly ill and almost died. And that's how the police at that time discovered the swallowing of a condom or a balloon full of cocaine. So now they're using a woman's breast implant. Big money, anything, any way to get that stuff into the country. Okay, now it's 2 minutes left, and again, I'm all alone by the telephone. I'm laughing here as I say this. I'm going to say something terrible. Where are you, power, to write to me and tell me what an asshole I am, in effect, because I think the way I do as a liberal. And don't I understand? The Constitution's the Constitution, and people don't like the work, and they're all grabbing something for nothing out there. Talk to me. We can have a very interesting, very calm discussion. You're avoiding me. The number is 646-478-5731. We have all of 90 seconds left. I'm not going to talk to you anymore about anything. I'm just going to talk to you. I'm not going to share some things with you any further because there really isn't sufficient time. First, join me in the show. I am going to do the show next Tuesday. Next Tuesday is Christmas morning. I'm going to do the show the following Tuesday, which is New Year's morning. I'm going to be here on those days because 7 in the morning on a Tuesday is Lewis's time. Blog radio talk show. And I would like you to join me at those times. And now, before we reach Christmas, I want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas. Enjoy the holiday. We don't have enough things in this world that we can enjoy today. The United States has the additional burden of the young children who died in Newtown. That lives with all of us. I have two grandchildren who go to school, 7 and 8 years old. That's all you can think of. Terrible. The whole thing's horrendous, and we're going to be killed with it this holiday season. But be that as it may, love your little ones, love your family, enjoy each other, have a very happy holiday season, And please, next week, someone call me and talk to me. The number, I'm begging you almost, 646-478-5731. I repeat, 646-478-5731. Thank you for joining me, and goodbye.